You know, there was a book out a number of years ago called Everything I Needed to Learn in Life, I Learned in Kindergarten, which I think is a crock because I started thinking about that. And I only remember one thing in kindergarten that I learned. I didn't learn to share well together. I know that's the book says, you know, play nice with other people. I probably didn't learn that either. You know, here's what I learned in kindergarten at five. I lived in Winter Park, Florida, where I was born, and I had this venture to, I don't know what kind of beads they were, but they grew in a vine in the oak tree. I'd throw sticks up, hit the things, they'd come down. There were little red berries, very hard, with a black top, red and black. And I collected them. I filled back then it was a Charlie Chips can, and I filled it 3/4 of the way with these red jewels that I was just collecting. And it took me, I don't know how long, but I was tenacious at it, find them, collect them. So we have show and tell. I go to kindergarten, and I break out my can, I pop the lid off, and I kind of pull out a handful to show, and the teacher loses her mind. She screams at me, "Don't touch them!" She grabs the can like it was a viper, like I brought a rattlesnake into the class. "Those are poisonous!" She jerks it out of my hand and runs out and disposes of them while I'm standing there at show and tell, nothing but my pants down and going, you know, I'm an idiot. And that was what I learned in kindergarten, you know. Now, you could say on one hand, maybe she saved a kid's life that day. Maybe. I don't know. I never thought to do the research to find out. Don't do it now. I'll take your phone. You get it after church. I don't even know what you call them. And they may not even be poisonous. She may have been full of baloney, but she traumatized me. But maybe they were, and I could have killed a couple kids, and I'd have grown up as a murderer from kindergarten, and that might have shaped my life in other ways that probably aren't good. So I did learn something in kindergarten. Don't bring poisonous berries to class. I never did it again. So this morning, I want to use a story in Acts chapter 8. We're in this series on guidance. Pastor Charles did a great job last week talking about seeking wise counsel and be wary of who you listen to. Seek out those that have proven their wisdom. Usually they have gray hair. Doesn't mean young people can't have wisdom. That's not the point of that story. I've seen young pastors full of young leaders, full of great wisdom. But it just means don't surround yourself with all your idiot friends that don't have any wisdom and listen to what they have to say, because they're going to tell you what they think you want to hear. And that was a great way. We're going to follow up on, but I want to kind of take you back to kindergarten in the sense that John Wimber, that founded the Vineyard, was Kim and I's spiritual mentor. He said this: the way in is the way on. The way into the kingdom of God, the way into salvation, the way in never changes. It's always the way on. So this morning, I'm going to take us to the way in and kind of remind us of the journey of how God guides us, because it never changes. There's different circumstances, different events, and different issues. But what we're going to look at, a story I looked at a number of months ago when we were talking about tearing down barriers to the gospel. But I'm going to approach the story from a different angle. I want to look at this guy, this Ethiopian, as a person that exemplifies how to come in, how the way in, and then build on as the way on. Now, the backstory in Acts chapter 8, this guy named Philip, who was he worked at like dinner church in the church. He served tables in that day in the book of Acts, and he got picked to be a leader to help organize the food so that the pastors could focus on the Word of God. Well, they get persecuted, and they're scattered all over. Philip gets scattered to a place called Samaria, and he's preaching the Bible, preaching the Word of God. And people are coming to Jesus. People are getting set free. Demons are being cast out. Bodies are being healed. And they're in revival. And in the middle of it, God says, "Hey, come here. I want to send you somewhere else." And not to a bigger crowd, not a bigger city, but to one person. So let's pick up the story. Acts chapter 8. We're going to talk about the way in is the way on. Chapter 8, verse 26. "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. The man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. Now, there's so much to say about it. He's the first African in the Bible to come to Jesus. This is a story of a guy that the gospel overcomes cultural barriers and overcomes sexual brokenness. He's a eunuch, whether it was by choice or forced upon him. He'd been castrated. So there's all kinds of different issues that would be against this guy, but yet he's successful, he's powerful, and he's searching. So here's our first step in the journey. He's traveled from northern Africa for thousands of miles to come to Jerusalem because he's heard about the God of Israel, and somehow he's got some type of a connection with the Jewish faith. We're not sure on all of that, but he came to worship, even though he wasn't allowed to come into the place of worship because he's considered unclean, both because he was an Ethiopian, but more because he had was a eunuch. And so he's searching. He's searching, and God knows that. Now, he doesn't know that God knows that God's working behind the scenes. And that's when you think about guidance. Some of you have made some really good choices without seeking God along the way. But what you don't know is how God may have just whispered to your mind, nudged you in the right way. I think every good decision we've ever made has been by the grace of God, or just by an accident. You had four choices and blindly you chose door number three, turned out to be the right door. I'm just saying, you may have gotten a lot further along with God's help than you realize. All of us, I think, will look back and see we could have got killed there, could have died there, could have overdosed there, could have made that choice in our life that could have. And the intervention was God looks for hungry hearts. That's the first step in guidance, is do you want the will of God? In this case, he wanted God. He wanted to meet God, and so the way in is there's got to be some hunger. He's traveled to try, but he left empty. He'd gone to church, but didn't get what he needed because they didn't give him Jesus. He'd gone to worship, but didn't get what he needed because they didn't give him Jesus. So he's still hungry, and he buys a Bible. Now, you may not think that's a big deal, but back then they didn't have Bibles like this. They had scrolls. We've actually been to Israel a number of times and seen the oldest copy of the Old Testament, the full copy of the book of Isaiah, wrapped like it's like 3 foot around this giant protective thing that you could look at. But he bought the scroll. So you're talking heavy. You have to roll it out and find sections to read in. Let me tell you something. You know you're hungry for God when you buy your first Bible. I'll never forget my first Bible. I was in Lake City Community College, going to be a fire ranger. I wanted to sit up in a fire tower, do drugs, and look for fires. Great motto. What a great vision. Wow. But I knew deep down I was lacking purpose. A lot of people come to Jesus for so many different reasons. Crises, brokenness, desperation, emptiness. For me, it was both a crisis, but it was emptiness. I didn't have purpose. I didn't want to live just for things, and I didn't want to live just the way without making a difference in the world. I didn't know how to make a difference. And so this eunuch wanted something more. He's got money. He's got power. He's got influence. He's got position, but he's empty. Something's missing. He's hungry. He's traveled. He bought a Bible, and he's reading it in his SUV chariot. This because he's got people traveling with him. This is a Mac Daddy chariot. He's up there. It's like a big couch. He's got, and they read out loud back then. Nobody read silently. So he's reading the book of Isaiah. Well, this guy, God moves heaven and earth to get a guy to him to help him. God will do that. God said, go, no. He left the 99 to go after the one. So Philip gets up to the chariot. I love this story. And in chapter 8, verse 28, on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot, stay near it. He has to run to catch up. He's running alongside the chariot. It's so cool. You could talk a lot about Philip and the story, but I want to focus on the eunuch. So he runs up. He hears him reading Isaiah the prophet. He says, "Hey, do you understand what you're reading?" Now think about this. Put yourself, you're all that in a chariot, and you got a guy running up beside you. He's not in a bigger chariot. He has no chariot. He's running up. You're reading out loud. It's in these moments that you define your life. It's in these moments where you decide, am I going to be teachable or am I going to be prideful? Can I admit I don't know? Can I admit I need help? See, you don't get anywhere till you can admit that you need help with a humble teachableness. I had a guy sent to a drug addiction place. It was in Okeechobee. It was run by a bunch of rednecks. They were good guys, but they were hardcore. And they didn't charge, but they required a full commitment. My buddy showed up with a beard. They said, "Yeah, you can come in. You're going to have to shave that beard." He said, "I've had this beard my whole adult life. I'm not shaving this beard." They said, "You're not coming into rehab." They turned him away. You know why? Because if you won't shave the beard, you're not going to get off your addictions. If you want to get them off of them your way and manage things, you're not going to get free. You don't get, you know, Jesus, the point of the story isn't to be legalistic to people. It's how willing are you to get help? Are you willing to say, "I don't know. I can't fix this," as Charles talked about last week. The lie of pride says, "I'll fix it. I'll figure it out." There's no shame in saying, "I don't understand the Bible." There's no shame. The shame is not telling somebody that and getting help. That's where the shame is. It's not that, yeah, there's all kinds of things I needed help in and understanding the Bible. I didn't know I had bought that Bible. I'm doing the hunt and dip method at night with my candle. I would just crack it open and put my finger down, and I read wherever it opened to. I had no idea what it meant. I just knew, wow, I need this. I don't know what, I'm not sure, but every now and then I'd come across something that was really clear, like, "For God so loved the world." And so I needed help. And God gave me a guy in an after-school drafting class, which is as boring as it sounds. I mean, it's just repeatedly drawing the same things over and over and over, practicing your whatever. And I looked over at this guy, and he's having fun. And I'm like, "Dude, what's wrong with you?" I said, "What are you on?" He said, "I'm not on anything." I could barely see my paper. I was like, "Yeah, the only way I'm going to get through this, I'm going to need some help." I said, "What are you on?" He said, "I'm not on anything." I said, "You got to be on something. You're happy." He said, "I'm on Jesus." I'd never heard anybody say that in their life. And he wasn't trying to be religious. He didn't put me down. He just said, "I got Jesus." I said, "You do?" I got to meet him. He invited me to come visit him. He lived in a KOA campground in Lake City in a teepee. He was what I needed. I didn't need a religious, stuffy person with a 50-pound Bible to beat me over the head. I needed somebody that was cool, that lived with his dog, Shawnee, in a teepee. And that was like, he spoke my language. But he knew Jesus. He invited me to come home, brought me to his father's church in Fort Myers in 1975, October 14th. Preached the message, and I realized I need you. I've been reading my Bible, but I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know what to do. I was like this eunuch. And do you know what you're reading? Publicly, he's on the spot. What if someone called on you out? "Have you read the Bible in the last 6 months? When you read it, do you know what you're reading? Do you have any idea of how you could point someone to Jesus with the Bible? I know who Moses is. Wasn't he in the lion's den or something? No. Oh, that was Daniel. Some of you wouldn't even think about going to Alpha because you don't want anybody to think, that's for newbies. No, it's for people that are hungry, people that want to lay a bigger foundation, people that want to have a little better understanding of Jesus and the Bible, people that want to grow in their faith. And that's not something to be ashamed of. Do you understand what you're reading? And the guy, I love this eunuch. And he says, how can I? Have you ever tried to read this book? Come on. He's in the Old Testament now. We're not talking about the love of Jesus in the New Testament. We're talking about, come on. Kill this, kill that. Don't eat this, don't eat that. Don't wear this, don't wear that. Oh my Lordy. No, I don't know what it means. I'm reading about somebody going to the slaughter. How could I know what that means? He slaughtered like a sheep before. No, I don't know. How hard is it to get to that point? I don't know. How do you do marriage? I don't know. Find somebody that's done it longer than you and ask what's worked for them and what hasn't worked. But people don't ask. They can't, because pride says that means you're not in the know, and that means you don't know everything. Yeah, that's the point. Nobody does. But if you don't come in the way in, if you don't come in humble, if you didn't come into Jesus in some form of humility, you didn't come in a healthy way. You may have gotten religious, but you don't find Jesus until you're humble and say, Jesus, take over. Jesus, be Lord of my life. Jesus, I'm not asking you questions. You're asking me questions. Help, Jesus. I didn't come in debating the Bible. I came in wanting to know Jesus. And that's the answer. So you've got to be searching. You've got to be hungry. And you've got to be teachable. Teachable is so hard. Lord, help me to be teachable. Let me go to something like an Alpha. Or it doesn't matter. You could watch, you know, online studies. Go, listen to me. You'll know. Your wife will know. Something's going on with my husband. He went out and bought him a good, readable Bible with some study helps in it. He owns his own Bible. Not to put on the shelf like a trophy, but to get it out in the morning before other people get up. And to get a cup of coffee and Jesus and sit down and say, feed my soul, Jesus. I'm not sure what I'm reading, but give me something to know. He'll make sure you find something in there that you know. But you'll never get on in your faith if you don't get on in the Word. And that's just, you never graduate. I don't need the Bible. You never graduate from seeking the wisdom of God and His Word, and often through the preaching of His Word for others. Charles, those of you that were here last week, Charles, as a counselor, should have sent every one of you a bill. He should have charged you. In fact, I think sometimes people would listen better if you got charged. I know I did. When I was in the counselor, I'm paying this guy by the hour. I want to suck every ounce of anything I can get out of him. I mean, tell me something. Give me something. I'll never forget. I mean, $150 into this, and I'm just, and he looked at me and he said, Jamie, can I ask you a question? I mean, that's not how I ever counseled. I never got permission to ask a question, so I'm not a good counselor. I'm a directive. Stop it! Anyway, so I'll save you a lot of time. Stop it! But he looked at me and he said, Jamie, do you think you can focus on the positive things that are going on in your life and not the negative? And it pierced me. It filleted me. It was a timing of the word in my situation. He said, it seems like you're focused on a lot of things that you've lost, but he said, it seems like not much of a big deal compared to what you've gained and the freedom you have with your wife. And I mean, I melted like a puppy right there, just weeping. Because he gave me permission to say, yeah, I've lost some things here, but what I've gained is far more than I've lost. Can I focus? I know the bag boy at Publix could have said, Mr. Stilson, do you think you could focus on the positive a little bit and not just the negative? Might help your outlook on life. It wasn't just be happy. It wasn't the point. He was challenging me to stand in the faith that I had and trust God and his goodness of what he was doing and be grateful. Listen to me. Do you know what you're reading? It's okay if you don't, but don't stay there. The eunuch says, of course I don't know. How can I unless someone explains it to me? So he says, get up in here and tell me what to do. Shave that beard. All right, give me a razor. No, I'm not.
Don't ask me to. Oh, no, no.
When you're broken, that's why you want to be in safe hands of people that aren't going to mess with you. But when you're broken and you're coming to Jesus and people are kind to you and people affirm you, we ring the bell and we celebrate. But the way in is through the humility and the brokenness of tell me what to do. Tell me the way out. Tell me the steps to take. And it says, verse 32, the eunuch was reading the passage of scripture. This is Isaiah. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. He, as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from him from the earth. Now we read into that knowing Jesus. He didn't know Jesus. This is Old Testament, but he knew enough that this is significant. There's something here I need to know. I want to search it out. I want someone to help me, guide me. I want someone to tell me the truth of God's word. Verse 34, the eunuch said to Philip, tell me, don't beat around the bush. If what I'm doing is going to cost me my soul, tell me. If I had a message to preachers, I would take this verse right here. This is where the world is. They want to be told the truth with kindness, with humility, but they don't want you to tiptoe around the reality that their sin is destroying them. They want you to have a message that calls them to change, or you don't have a message. Tell me, the eunuch would say to the preachers of this day. Don't tickle my ears. Make me feel good about myself. Make me just stay in my sin. Let me just feel comfortable in rebellion. Tell me what I need to be done. That's not an authoritative, heartless command, but there's something at stake here that you're going the wrong way. You've got to turn around. There's consequences. Destruction is coming. If you keep hardening your neck, you'll soon be cut off, and that without remedy. There is requirements from God to walk with him. Tell me, the eunuch said, who's this prophet talking about? I love verse 35. Then Philip began at that passage, and he told him the good news about Jesus. Amen. That's where it all comes to. You start with Jesus. I don't understand this, that, and the other. You start with Jesus. The way in is Jesus. The way on is Jesus. You come in through humility. Tell me. The way on is you come in with humility and say, tell me. And you stay focused. Listen to me. Let me ask you this question. Has the good news of Jesus become old news to you?
No.
Thank you. It can become, yeah. I know about that. He died on the cross, rose from the dead, you know, the whole sins forgiven thing, you know. That changed my life. That was the way in. I needed God to love me in my brokenness and my emptiness and my lostness and my stupidity and my meanness and my sinfulness. I needed good news that could make a difference in my world, a good news that could bring change to my life. And listen, I love this eunuch. He's humbled himself. He's got in the Word of God. He's been pointed towards Jesus. And then he says this, verse 36, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's some water, which is rare in the country they were in. There's water. Why shouldn't I get baptized? Come on. We beg, we plead. Come on. This guy's like, hey, why not now? I want to go all in with Jesus. I don't want a religious experience and feel better. I want a transformation and be different. I want to go all in. I love this. Look what he says. And he says, Verse 38, he gave orders, stop the chariot. This guy's in it to be changed. He wants the will of God. He's listened to wise counsel. He's sought the word of God. He's been pointed to Jesus. He's discovered the truth of God. Stop! I'm not going another step in that direction. Stop! This is not the way I want to go. Stop! He put the brakes. This is called repentance. It's not, I'm going to add Jesus to my life and keep living however I want to live. Me and Jesus do what I want to do, and I'm going to heaven someday, me and Jesus. Stop! That's going the wrong way. Stop! What wisdom this guy has. I don't want to go another step towards the wrong direction. It's like the old adage, when you're in a hole, put the shovel down and stop digging. You'll not get out of a hole by digging deeper. What are you doing? I'm digging. How did you get in the hole? Digging. Stop digging. Put the shovel down. Step away from the hole. Get baptized. Get baptized. Which is the public all-in surrender to Jesus. I know we use the language, I want to invite Christ into my life. And that's good. I love it. But better, this guy does it. Better, this guy is more like, I want to give Jesus my whole life. Amen. This wasn't like, I'm going to add Jesus to my, you know, my repertoire. I'm going to add Jesus. No, he's coming to take over. I'm going to die. They're going to bury me in baptism. I'm going to die to what I want. I'm giving Jesus my yes. The way in is there. You're not in till you do that. I don't care how much the Bible you think you know. If you haven't given Jesus the surrender of your heart to say, I'm yours, you're Lord, I'm not, I'm yours, then you're not in. Bible. But if you've said yes to Jesus, you've gone all in, then the way on is you keep saying yes to Jesus and you keep going all in. Because you died. I died December 23rd, 1975 in the Gulf of Mexico. And buddy, it was cold. I literally could have died. It was cold. But I'm going to tell you what, when he put me down in that water, the power of God came on me. Whew. It was a moment I'll never forget. But I don't live off that moment. It leads me to more moments. It leads me to, like, during the Holy Spirit weekend, they'll have an introduction to the Holy Spirit. People will encounter God in a new way. Been walking in church for years, but had never been encountered by the Holy Spirit. The way in is Jesus. The way on is Jesus. The way in is humility. You never graduate from it. When I go to make a hard, big decision, obviously I pray about it. But I've built a network, a system of support in my life. No one can build it for me. The Vineyard can't do it. You can't do it. My first step of support, it would have been to call my mom and dad when I was a kid. But they're both dead. I can't call them. First person I go to is my wife. And we pray together. And we don't move forward. If I can't get past her, I'm not going to the next. Next one is I've got two or three mentors. One of them's her dad. One of them lives in Maine and one lives in South Africa. I don't go make a big decision unless I make it through those guys. And then on top of that, I've got friends that I meet with every week that know me, pastor friends. And then I've hired a coach. I've hired someone to tell me what to do. I've been doing this a long time. I know enough to know that I can get blind spots. I can miss things. I need to double check. I need to make sure. He gave me a word here a couple weeks ago, and he's $200 an hour. You think I pay attention? I'm like, buddy, you better give me something worth $200 right now. Don't tell me stuff I already know. I'm hiring you to tell me what I don't know. And he does. He doesn't just, I'm not paying him to tell me what I want to know. I'm paying him to tell me what I need to know. And buddy, he gave Kim and I a word here a few weeks ago. I just started crying. It was, I needed it. It was a word from God. It was a word of correction. And it was so good. It hurt. I'm not painting to make me feel better. I'm painting to help me make good decisions. So by the time I get to our pastoral team with my wife and our church council, I've been through the fire. What do you go through before you make a decision? If you can't answer that, you're not making good decisions. If you don't have some people in your life that you've built a trust, they don't have to be best friends. And some of them might be somebody you pay. Oh, well, but pay the right ones. Amen. Find somebody that's going to give you wise counsel and listen to them. Some of them could be a prayer partner. Somebody, it doesn't matter. So the eunuch says, there's water. And Phil, you can imagine Philip's like, he's praying to you, I don't know. He's like, there's water. Stop. Get out. They both go down. Verse 38, he stops the chariot. They both, Philip and the eunuch. By the way, they go down and Philip baptized him. You don't ever get baptized by yourself. Do you realize that? One of the most difficult individuals I ever dealt with in my life as a pastor baptized himself. Enough said. Ended up throwing him out of the church publicly as he stomped his dust in front of our winter guest and pronounced Ichabod over our church. He would walk circles around our home, putting curses on us. I should have been a warning sign when he showed up and said, I couldn't find anybody to baptize me, so I baptized myself. He would drive up and down Sanibel with a bullhorn, screaming at people to repent. Sanibel, know where you are. He couldn't listen to anybody. You couldn't tell him anything. You get baptized by someone else. The way in is the way on. It's not an individual, you and Jesus in the Bible. Now, you and Jesus in the Bible is crucial, but it's the way on is with his family. It's saying, help, I need guidance. Help, I need prayer. Help, I need to get baptized. Help. And it's a surrender. It's not something you do to yourself. It's something that's done to you. Now, I love this part. They get done. They're baptized. This is only God could do this in the story. It says in verse 39, when it came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord who had come upon, you know, he'd come upon the eunuch all through the book of Acts. He's come upon him in power. I know that. I knew it in my own life. He's come upon him in power. But all of a sudden, it says that after the Holy Spirit had come, it says he suddenly took, the word is snatched Philip away. Whoop, gone. Star Trek beamed him up. 17 miles away, boop, put him down. Now, I'm only guessing here. But look what it says the eunuch does. Here's what most people, it could have been read this way. The end of verse 39. And suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch didn't see him anymore. But he went on his way rejoicing. It wasn't, where's Philip? I need Philip. I gotta have Philip. Philip told me the way. Philip showed me I need my pastor. Where's the pastor? I can't get a hold of him. I need him. No, he went on his way rejoicing. Why? Because he traded Philip in for Jesus. And you don't lose when you get Jesus. He doesn't need Philip. Now, again, it's not teaching independence and you never need to buy to Christ. It's just like don't get lost. You know what God keeps doing to my mentors? They keep dying on me. It's not fair. My best mentor, I don't know how many years will he have been. Tomorrow's the anniversary. He'll start Alpha on Bob's anniversary of when he died. I don't know how many years ago. It's been 5, 6. And I'm still mad at him for dying on me. So I need him. I call him up, Jamie, what's going on? Which meant, what do you need, buddy? I know you called me. You need some help. You need some guidance. You need some encouragement. But it was always, Jamie, what's going on? And I'd tell him about it. I'd just say, oh. He'd go, oh. I miss him, but I still have Jesus. Amen. He got snatched away. I still got Jesus. When it comes down to it, making decisions when it's said and done, no matter what your process was, you're going to have to pull the trigger and make a decision, and you got to own it. I found this out like a year ago. I married this girl like a lifetime ago, like, I don't know, 40 years ago, 35. She's still mad at me for marrying her. I don't even remember doing the wedding. But apparently the guy was a creep. I didn't know him. And she's mad that I married her. I'm like, I didn't pick him. You did. You sat right there before God. I only married you because of trying to be nice to your parents. Didn't want them mad at me. Should I have done some extensive premarital counseling? Maybe. But when it's all said and done, she made the pick. Amen. You own it. He was an idiot. All right, you chose him. That makes you an idiot. Amen. Enough said. Now learn from it and move on. Don't do it again. Don't come ask me to marry you again. I'm good. Own it. Guy comes into my office. This is back on Sanibel. He says, I'm his pastor. He said, Jamie, I've got to make this decision. I said, okay. He said, I've talked to 4 people that are the most spiritual, godly people I know, and they all think I should do this. And I'm thinking, well, first of all, why didn't you go to me first? I'm way smarter than those people, whoever they are. And I'm like, what are you asking me for? Because he wanted me to be number 5 and just rubber stamp his decision. Not to be defiant, though it could have been that. But I looked at him when he told me, and I said, I think that's stupid what you're trying to do, and I don't think it's going to turn out well for you. He got so mad. He said words that I did understand, but he cussed me out, slammed the door, called me a horrible pastor. And all I did was genuinely try to caution him. And it, guess what? It turned out really bad for him. All I'm saying is, that's not how this eunuch got set free and went on his way rejoicing. He said, tell me what to do. And he did it. He said, give me wise counsel. And he heard it. Open the scriptures to me. And he followed it. He went all in with Jesus. And he went on his way to Africa with the gospel to a nation that rocked the world. One guy rocked the world. That's why God sent Philip to him. That's why God will find you if you're seeking him. If you're wanting help, if you genuinely want to do the right thing, if you're calling out to God, God will help lead you. He'll give you a message. Like right now, some of you are sitting in here, you really, really need to pay attention to what I'm telling you. The way in. You got to come in the right way. You don't come in by being good enough. You don't come in by being smart enough. You don't come in because you're so successful. You don't get in because you come in because you need Jesus. You're hungry. You're desperate. You need direction, guidance, wisdom. Oh God, help. And then he sends people. Could be an old guy named Jamie trying to give you some of his wisdom. Pay attention. Listen to it. Follow what God shows you. Don't just be a hearer. Be like the eunuch. Stop. Stop. You can imagine the cheerleader. Whoa, they got these horses going, and this is a big entourage. Stop. I'm about to change my life. All of you come watch. You know that every one of them ended up coming to Jesus. You know on the way back to Africa, he's reading the Word of God to them. You know he came in by himself. He came out with an entourage. He was bringing other people. While he's cutting their hair, he's telling them about Jesus. Come on. You got somebody in a vulnerable place with a sharp object in your hand. They're going to listen. Got that straight razor doing that shave. Hey, where are you with Jesus? Oh, I mean, if you were to die today in this chair, would you know where you'd be going? Just messing with you. I think about that when my barber's cut my hair and he's got that straight edge on me. I'm like, Gene, steady hands, steady hands. I'm ready for Jesus, but just not right now. Be careful, that straight edge. The way in, go back to it. How'd you come in? Now everybody has a different story, but it all has the same characteristics. You came in through humility. There's no other way. You don't come in through pride. Nobody comes in. You came in through humbling yourself, and you paid attention to God's truth. You found the good news, and it and his power made a difference. He forgave, cleansed, changed you. But now the way in is the way on. Everything you needed to learn about Jesus is you learned in salvation. Every principle that you'll ever need, just walk it out. Go deeper. You never graduate. I know enough about the Bible. I don't need to read it anymore. I don't need to get. One of the things that my mentor, Bob, he made it self-made multimillionaire. Didn't finish high school. Built himself his own business. Just an incredible story. He was so arrogant back then, they tried to get him. The principal threw him out and said, Manischewitz, you're a loser. You'll never amount to anything. Threw him out of school. 10-year reunion, they came back around and wanted to know if he wanted to buy an ad. He said, what's the biggest ad you can get? Well, we have a full-page ad, Mr. Manischewitz. I want double page. In the center of the, well, we don't have that, Mr. Manischewitz. What about for this? We have that, Mr. Manischewitz. He lined up all of his vehicles that he had. He lined up all his employees. He got a big, giant, high-back chair and had a big Cohiba cigar in his mouth. And it was said, R.P. Manischewitz, Inc. And it was his way of giving the finger to the principal of that school. And he went on. Well, he comes to Jesus and has an amazing story. Well, he's bought and sold more properties than any of us will ever, and just never made a bad, but he would always, he'd call your dad, Rick, he'd call Doug. I said, what are you calling Doug for? You're the guru. He goes, I might have missed something. I need another set of eyes on this. I want Doug to look it over, and Doug may say, hey, well, Bob, I don't know about this. He never graduated from needing advice. Though he was the master of mentoring others, he knew he received, and he never stopped being a learner. Listen to me, guys, gals. The way in, it's not easy, but it's simple. The way in, it's not easy, but it's clear, it's simple. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me. It's simple. He died on the cross to pay for my sins. It's simple, but it cost me everything. I don't want to add Jesus to my shelf of icons or idols. I want him to take over my life. I gave him my yes in 1975. I keep re-giving him my yes. And I seek wise counsel. And there's tremendous sense of self-distrust that I came in with. Man, I've screwed my life up. How's it ever going to get fixed? Not by Jamie. Jesus put me back together, and he's still putting me back together. I've never lost that healthy distrust. I know better than to just let me be the final authority. I need wisdom and counsel. Though I've helped thousands of people, given clarity, direction, wisdom, but that doesn't put me at a level where I no longer need it. It makes me need it more. The way in is the way on. Don't eat the poisonous berries. All right, let's pray. Take a moment. Just, I don't know where you are in your journey, but if you, maybe you're here today and you're seeking, and you realize you want more than just some religious experience. You want more than just some religious hobby. You want something worth giving yourself to. And the mission of Jesus is that purpose. And if you're here today, the way in is simple humility, saying, Jesus, help take over my life. Just ask him. The Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, he'll save them. He'll rescue them. It's an all in. And then it's not someone begging you. No one, the minute someone said, hey, you need to get baptized, boom, I'm in. Why? Because Jesus said so. I'm in. Hey, you need to read the Bible. Boom. I'm in. Jesus said so. Hey, you need to honor God with your finances. Boom. I'm in. Jesus said so. Hey, your sex life needs to belong to Jesus. Hey, I'm all in. Give it to Jesus. It's a journey of surrendering to his lordship in every friendships, hobbies, future. He is Lord. Have you gone all in? You can't go on until you come in. The way in is the way on. You say, what do I do, Jamie? Well, if you've never surrendered to Christ, just where you're seated or online, just say a simple prayer. Jesus, take all of me. I surrender all of me. Good, bad, ugly. All of me. I'm yours. Another way of saying it is, Christ, I invite you into my life. Take over. Let his forgiveness come and wash over you. Let his spirit come like it did in the eunuch's heart. Oh, it's got a new, when he got back in that chariot, he was a new man. He had to walk it out. He's full of light, full of life. He had met Jesus. Didn't need Philip anymore. There'll be other Philips in his life, and he'll be a Philip to others. But he found Jesus. You can find him this morning if you just call out. Lord, bless this time of commitment. Lord, I just pray that you will capture hearts for your purposes, Jesus. In your precious name we pray. Amen.